Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Karen Stobey and Mundy Carter are a formidable husband and wife team. They're the creators of an innovative program that bridges the gap that emerges in families with the onset of Alzheimer's disease. Karen's dad died from Alzheimer's disease, and now her mum, Virginia, has also been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and lives with Karen and Mundy. Their In the Moment program encourages family and friends of those living with Alzheimer's to change the way they communicate with their loved ones. When Karen and Mundy joined us on Open House, we started with those early signs of Alzheimer's in Karen's dad's life.
Well, you know, to be honest, my dad didn't really share that with us. I think he wasn't sure what was going on, and it was all coinciding with him retiring. And so what we thought was just him letting it all go and just not having to worry about details anymore was really him starting to slip into Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And he was also having some small strokes at the time. So we all just disregarded any behavior as, oh, Dad's just having to not worry about that anymore. Oh, he's just relaxing. That's why he's not remembering this or that. And I think he slipped back into that stoic German and just didn't share it with anybody. So it took us, and a lot of people have it the same way, to when you finally get the diagnosis, you look back and you go, oh, my gosh, it's been 3, 4, 5 years that something's been happening. Mm. And that's exactly what happened with us, is that we looked back and realized it had been several years that something was going on and we just didn't realize what. And so my mom ended up being the main caregiver for my dad until it was just too much and he was in a nursing home, but he was only in a nursing home for about a year and a half.
And then he passed away in 2000.
He did, and he passed away truly from Alzheimer's. And that's one of the interesting things that is going on, is that even though he died because he was unable to eat anymore, the cause of why he was unable to eat and couldn't breathe and couldn't walk and talk was Alzheimer's. Mm. But too many times on the death certificate, it gets put down as pneumonia or, yeah, you know, heart failure. And so then the funding, then Alzheimer's is way down on the list, and we don't receive the funding we need for Alzheimer's research and care. So there's been a surge in the last 10, 12 years of people really fighting to say, this needs to say Alzheimer's disease on the death certificate. And we, in fact, had to do that just 14 years ago to say, you know, really, what happened here?
Yeah.
And so it went fairly fast. But I think that's also why we recognized something was going on with my mom. And we noticed it about a year and a half, truly, to where I brought her to a geriatrician and a memory expert and wanted to see really what was happening. And what he looked at, you know, one of the things he said, well, maybe it's depression from your dad's death. And yeah, I was like, no, she's okay. She's at peace with that.
Yeah.
And they went through and crossed off the list and did the tests and did the interviews and finally came up with vascular dementia, that she was having a couple of small strokes, but we got that under control. And that also, he said it was the early signs of Alzheimer's. And so that was, you know, back in 2001. And here we are 13 years later, and she's doing well. She's still going strong, lives here with us, and we live with her.
And how present is she in your family in terms of the mum that you knew as a little girl?
She's still there. I've had a hard time always hearing that when people say, well, my mom is gone,
yeah,
or that's not my dad anymore. And I feel like she's still there, and you can still see pieces of her, of my mom there. But Virginia Cowell Stobey is definitely there.
Yeah.
My being the youngest of the six, my childhood is definitely gone from her memory.
Okay.
And my older sisters, there's some pieces, but what's so clear to her is her own childhood of her growing up in the mountains of West Virginia. And they're starting, lines are, of course, being blurred. So she'll sit on our front porch here in North Carolina and say, you know, I used to roller skate up and down this street.
Wow.
And my mom used to get so mad and tell me not to go so fast. And so they get blurred. And but it's if you when she says that, your tendency as a human being is to say, Mom, there's no way. You grew up in West Virginia, never been here as a child. But instead of going, wow, you must have gone really fast because there's a little hill there. Oh, yes. Instead, just go along and step into their world. And it truly does make everybody happier. And I think that's the part that family members really struggle with, of wanting to pull that person into the present and for them to know who you are, because you feel like you want that relationship. Because what is life about but relationship? Yeah. But I always say my husband is the best caregiver that ever could be.
And I agree.
Well, Mundy, well overdue. Welcome to the conversation, my friend. So let's talk about you. The truth of the matter is you quickly became the favorite of the family, particularly with Mum, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Because I think... I didn't have any conflict with her seeing the world in a very different way, because, I mean, I feel that some reasons why people fight to sort of reorient people with Alzheimer's, even unconsciously, is because, especially with family, you know, you kind of exist in your own mind, but you also exist in the perception of others and how you see them see you. And you know, who you are, especially with your parents, is so caught up with that. So you really want them to see the world the same way, whereas I don't have any of that. Yeah. And I enjoy pretending all the time. I'm a professional pretender. So it certainly is much more interesting for me to go along with whatever she says is real. Then as far as using improv with her mom, it was really Karen that kind of put it together before we were really taking care of her mom ever, is she started finding out more about what was the disease that her dad had and discovered that the guidelines that you need to follow to take care of somebody with Alzheimer's were parallel to the guidelines that you need to follow to do improv comedy.
And I think it was a little bit due to my attention deficit disorder, because I would sit and I would go to Alzheimer's disease and dementia conferences, and I would sit there and watch this PowerPoint, and I was just dying. Yeah. I was thinking, gosh, if we could get up and do this interactive exercise, or if we could do this, it would get it into my brain better. Mm. And it made me start thinking. And Mundy and I had already written a show that we were performing together called Sometimes You Gotta Laugh. And at that time, I realized that just what Mundy said, that those parallels are so clear, and that we can use some of the exercises that we teach improvisers to teach the caregivers, whether you're professional or family, some of those skills that you need in order to be able to do this. One of the biggest rules that anybody that's ever taken a class would say is the yes and rule, and that you never say no on stage, because it's boring if you walk up and it just turns into an argument.
Yeah.
So instead, to say yes and, it's such an easy tool, but it's such a huge tool that you can do with persons with Alzheimer's, because it breaks down that barrier of them hearing no, whether it's a verbal no or just a reality of another loss in their life as a no. But to hear that yes and, that validates what they're doing and they're feeling right then, and then using that and to build upon it.
Yeah.
And it works.
Mundy, give us an example of how that actually works or sounds.
So she'll say something like, I don't know why my legs hurt so bad. Like, I'm getting her up out of the chair to sort of help her get back to her bedroom at night to go to bed. And I'll say something like, it was probably that kickboxing match you were in. and she just starts laughing. And, the thing is, with me, I've had this relationship with her for so long that she will take almost everything that I say as being something funny, even if I'm not even intending it. Sometimes she'll wake up. Like, one thing that happens with Alzheimer's is that your circadian rhythms tend to just kind of go away, and she'll wake up in the middle of the night and think that it's the beginning of the day and start getting dressed. Mm. And we've rigged up a system so that if she walks into the kitchen, it's like one of those business doorbell notifications, like our customers come in, so it'll go off in our bedroom. It'll go bing, bong. So I'm like, I know that she's in the kitchen. And she's got diabetes as well, so it's important that she not just start eating ice cream, which she would do.
Right.
So I will go down there and tell her it's 4:30 in the morning, and she'll be like, oh, you.
So given that that's her first response, how do you bring some truth into the conversation then?
She'll say, oh, you look tired. And I'll say, yes, I am very tired. I would love to go back to bed. But why don't you go back to bed? I can't go back to bed because you can't be by yourself. If you fell, you'd be in trouble. So I need to be awake if you're awake. Oh, you should go back to bed. I say, I'm not going to go back to bed unless you go back to bed. Okay, I'll go back to bed then. Right. So it becomes like that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do this kind of thing with anybody with Alzheimer's. I do it because I understand who she is.
Yeah.
And that's such an important point, Mundy. That's such an important point that, you know, one of the biggest things that I preach and a lot of us do is that you've got to know the person. And what will work for one person may not work for another. But generally, this whole idea of stepping into their world, just like Mundy said, he initiates it at times now where she'll just say, oh, I'm tired, and he'll throw out a crazy suggestion, a crazy idea, and she'll laugh and go with it. But then other times she initiates, like, and this has stopped, but she was seeing the squirrels in the trees, and she knew for a fact they were monkeys.
Wow.
And so instead of saying, no, there's no monkeys, Mom, you know, in the trees, those are squirrels, he'd go along with it and say things like,
we should catch one, bring it into the house, and we can use it as a butler.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, that's a great idea.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
That's undebatable.
Wear little monkey outfits, and they would do jobs for us. So, you know, it could go either way. And there would be times where I would say the exact same thing that he would say, and she would not like it whatsoever.
Right.
And it's not that my mother is just so full of laughter all the time. She has gotten angry and frustrated because of the situation. And, you know, there's also this whole idea in the world of Alzheimer's that sometimes people will say, well, you can tell a little white lie, or, you know, you can fib a little bit if somebody's... And we really don't believe in that. There's a point where my mom was very early on, and she might say something about my dad, and I would give her a look, and I knew I could say, well, Mom, you know, Daddy passed away about, you know, 5 years ago. And she goes, that's right. You know, I knew that. But then about a year or so later, I couldn't do that anymore because I know that she didn't remember it. And then she would have just been reliving that over and over and over. So now if she mentions my dad, we tend to say, well, what do you remember about him? You know, tell us about him. And you turn that into a yes and moment instead of a reaction, pulling them into our reality. You jump into theirs of where they are. And it's harder for us families because we're having to let go of a lot. We have to let go of that need of seeing that relationship. And sometimes when you have a relationship with someone and that relationship goes away, then you lose some of your own identity. And I think that's what's really hard for us, is when we're jumping into that reality, we're losing a little bit of our identity and losing that little bit of me as that young girl, as that daughter. But I still have this relationship. And so the more that I can do that, the better. And I think it's easy. It just takes practice. And I also believe in support groups so much and wonderful adult day programs. My mom goes to one, and it's just wonderful here in town. And she loves it. She thinks she's a rock star. She walks in and she thinks she's known everybody in there that are childhood friends. And she has to say goodbye to every single person when she leaves. And it's so good for her, too, to be, you know, with others instead of just us in our crazy house.
Karen and Mundy, it's been liberating having the chat with you. Thank you so much for your insights. For the program, we're going to post links to the In the Moment workshops on our social media pages after we finish this conversation. It's been a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.